This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a brand new series today entitled Important Lessons That Changed My Life. Important Lessons That Changed My Life. All my life, I've seen God's favor on my life, whether it was when I was in the military, whether it was in business, whether it's in ministry. I've just seen it. All my life, something that people have always said to me, you know, was, you know, you got wisdom beyond your years. This is back when I was 18, 19, 20, you know, and I believe that if you walk with the wise, you will increase in wisdom. I've always, I mean always, even with the time I was a little kid, I liked to hang around people who were older than me, who knew more than me, you got it? Who had more than me, who were doing more than me. Why? Because I wanted to be stretched, right? You know, so their success didn't bother me, and their big personalities didn't bother me. And even if they bragged on what they have, none of that bothered me because I understood, even though I'm not getting to my first point, I'm gonna start dropping some wisdom nuggets even before I get to my first point, is that exposure expands expectations. Everybody say exposure expands expectations. Some of you all that have come into our ministry have been exposed to greater, you got it? Have been exposed to things that you never would have been exposed to had you not come to this ministry. And there's something that you have to understand about when you're exposed to something. When you're exposed to something or someone who has more than you, you got to make sure you keep your heart right. Does that make sense? I want to read this to you. Listen at this very closely, all right? When God exposes us to people who have more, it is not to provoke us into jealousy, but to expose to us what is possible for our lives. You can't become what you haven't seen or heard. So our response determines whether we are postured for increase or relegated to lack. Exposure expands expectations, all right? Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse says, become wise by walking with the wise. Says, hang out with fools, and what's going to happen? Watch your life fall to pieces, right? And so you have to make sure that you hang out with the right crowd. Birds of a feather do what? Flock together. You're going to become like who you spend time with, right? And so when choosing your friends, you have to choose your friends wisely. You have to make sure you ask questions when you're choosing your friends. Like, number one, do we have the same convictions, right? Because how can two walk together unless they agree, right? The second thing you have to ask is, are they going somewhere? I don't know about you, but I want to be around people that are vision-oriented, that want to go somewhere, that want to see some big things happen in their lives. Do they have any goals? You got it? And so you have to ask, do they have the same convictions? Are they going somewhere? And then number three, will they make me a better person? Will the people that I'm hanging out with make me a better person? In life, whether you know it or not, in life, people will either add, subtract, or divide in your life. Bottom line, they will either add to your life, they'll take away from your life, or they'll cause all kind of craziness in your life, right? And so you have to make sure that you use wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, or wisdom is the main thing. My definition for wisdom is a very simple definition. You won't find this in the Webster. It is a disciplined approach to living, all right? Whereby I operate by spiritual principles, and through discernment, I accurately apply, watch this, both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge into my situation to bring forth the perfect will of God for my life. And so, you know, how many know you have to be balanced in life? Like, you can't be too spiritual, you got it? You know, because if you're so spiritually minded, you won't be any earthly good. But you can't be too earthly that you don't know how to operate by spiritual principles. So I take them both together and I apply the will of God for my life. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. He says, in all thy getting, get what? He says, get an understanding. He says, exalt her, talking about wisdom, and she shall promote thee. So when I exalt wisdom, I'll be promoted. Also, I'll be brought to honor when I do embrace wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing. James, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse in the Message translation talks about wisdom. He says, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? He said, here's what you do. Everybody say, listen up. Live well, Live wisely and live humbly. Man, that is good right there. I could teach a whole lesson on living well, living wisely, and living humbly. He said, it's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. He said, it's the furthest thing from wisdom. It is animal cunning, devilish conniving. That's the Bible, all right, Message translation. He says, whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. How many know that's the truth? He said, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and it's characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable. How many know you don't have to fight everything? Well, you know, as I get older, I'm always asking, you know, Lord, God, help me. I want to be a better person. I want to be the best person I can be. You got it? I appreciate that you all think I'm a great pastor, but I want to be a greater pastor. I appreciate that my wife thinks I'm a great husband, but I want to be an even better husband. My kids think that I'm a great dad. I want to be an even better dad. I want to be a good friend. Like, I just want to be a good human being. Does that make sense? You know, and the longer I live, the more, first of all, y'all know that pastor don't believe in drama. I'm allergic to it. You got it. I got a note from my doctor. I'm allergic to drama. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah. And then I don't like gossip. I don't like it. I don't talk about folks. You got it. Sometimes I understand you have to talk about situations and people can be included in a situation, but you got to be real careful when it comes to that stuff. Like I'm just a real stickler for that. You got it. You know, and I'm like any other human being. Sometimes I'll catch myself in a situation. I need to just move right on away from that. Right. You know, because I don't want to be like that. And one thing that the Holy Spirit has really helped me with, he's like, son, just don't have an opinion about anything. Yeah, just live your life where if you hear someone do something, say, okay, praise the Lord. You got, because it ain't got nothing to do with me. If you get a situation that you hear about, if you're not careful, you don't like that. You don't care for that. Why? Oh, it got real quiet. We need to pick the mics up. No, I'm serious. All of us in the room, talk back to me, have seen a situation or heard something that somebody else did and you don't like it and it ain't got nothing to do with you? Right. Come on, somebody. But I don't care for it. Why? It, like the Bible teaches us in Luke, the 6th chapter, judge not and ye shall not be judged. We could keep going to condemn not and ye shall not be condemned and forgive. Let's just start at judge not and ye shall not be judged. So now I'm really disciplining myself, you got it, that when I hear things or maybe see things on social media or whatever, I have no opinion. None whatsoever. You got it. If it ain't got nothing to do with me, LaConte, J-Man, and Hannah Banana, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to give the Lord a hand praise. I'm trying to help you. It is gentle, it is reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced. Oh, Lord. You can develop a healthy, robust community, WLCC, that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And I pray that that is what our church does, that anybody can come from any place to a culture that's friendly, that loves Jesus, that's gonna love you. Hello, somebody. You got it? That's really what it's all about, all right? You know, and that's what real wisdom looks like. All right, so I'm going to give you, every week I'm going to try to give you three. Today, I don't know if we'll get to three, but I've actually already given you a couple, all right? But every week, but because I'm, you know, the first, you know, the beginning of any series, I got to map it out for you, so I won't get to as many. But today, I want to give you a couple lessons that changed my life, all right? So let's dive into it. Everybody say number one. Number one. Learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life. Learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life, all right? And please understand, any lesson pastor is going, any point pastor gives you is not something that I'm trying to figure out. It's something that I've mastered in life. You got it? Like I have mastered giving. I've learned about giving. And Lady LaConte and I'm talking about personally, we are givers. Now, our church is a giving church, but we are givers. There's not a week that goes by that we're not blessing someone or doing something or surprising somebody because we understand that is how we live our lives. And you have to understand, when it comes to giving, generosity is key. All right? Generosity is fueled by love. For God so loved the world that he gave. You got it? So generosity is fueled by love. And it started with what God did for us. He loved the world that he gave. He loved the world when the world didn't love him. You got it? So for God so loved the world that he gave. So love gives, but lust takes. Be careful not to hang around people that all they want to do is just take. I believe that relationships should be reciprocal. You got it? So if you got a quote-unquote best friend, or y'all got good friends, you shouldn't be the only one giving in that circle. You got it? There should be some giving and receiving that's going on in that circle. Does that make sense? Yeah. If you're the only one in the fish tank, you got it, among all the fishes, right? And you're the one that's giving, and you're never receiving, and you're being drained, you need to find your new fish tank. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So being generous will point people to Jesus. The turkey giveaway is one of my favorite things. We do a lot of things here at Without Limits, and we do a lot of amazing things. But one of my favorite things is the turkey giveaway. And because the culture of our church is just so ripe to do things like this, I have literally taught you along the way that when they come, some people could hear 3:30 in the morning, and we fill it up. You get a big old turkey. You're going to get macaroni and cheese. You're going to get, help me out, stuffing. Corn, green beans, cake mix, icing, you got it, and a whole lot of love. You understand what I'm saying? You got it, and prayers, right? Well, and I've taught you, as they come, we smile, because when we smile, we're showing the love of Jesus, right? We're encouraging people. We're letting them know we're praying for them. We're not, they're not coming through like, here, take it, because we're ready to get out of here. You got it? If you got that mentality, just stay home. Don't even come. You come to prayer meeting. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. No, why? Because you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting someone's life in an amazing way. Being generous will point people to Jesus if you do it the right way. Does that make sense? John Bunyan, I never normally quote him, but he says, "You have not lived today until you've done something for someone who can never repay you." And so you've got to understand, you got it. You can learn a lot about someone by the way they treat people who can do nothing for them. I learned that quote, man. I must have been 19 or 20 years old. And man, that quote has stuck with me all my life. You got it? Like I have made it up in my mind. I'm always going to be a good person to everybody. I mean, even people that do me wrong, lie on me, change their mind, I don't care. I'm going to be a good person to everybody. Why? Because watch this. Jesus is on the inside of me, so goodness is on the inside of me. You got it? Joy is on the inside of me. Peace is on the inside. So what happens is when you come in contact with me, you're coming in contact with Jesus. And Jesus is not mean. Jesus is not stubborn. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you got to understand, the importance of making sure that you're always showing the love of Jesus and not just at church. Right? But in the grocery store, at the red light when it's green and the person in front of you is texting and you wish they would go. You got it. Have you ever been behind someone and it's a red light? You know they had to be texting or something because they are not paying. And then, you have the normal be kind and pause for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and they still ain't going, right? And then after 10 seconds, you're like, okay, well, I can't blow the horn hard, but maybe I can bump, bump, you know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to show the love of Jesus even in your horn honk. You understand what I'm saying? And I got to be real careful because people judge me for everything. You got it? So, my mind can't even be bonk, bonk because, if they see me, that's the pastor. That's the guy on the billboard. You got it? So, I just sit there and pray, God is great and he's greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. You understand? Let's get back to giving. Giving is the verb of the Bible. In the Bible, we see the word believe 272 times. We see the word pray 371 times. We see the word love 714 times, but we see the word give 2,161 times because giving is the verb of the Bible. Giving matters, and giving is a matter of the heart. Did you hear what I said? Giving matters, and giving is a matter of the heart. When you give, it's learning to trust God's plan to prosper you over your plan to prosper yourself. And let me just help you. God can prosper you better than you can prosper yourself. Does that make sense? We understand the tithe. Well, some of us do. And at some point, I know I need to teach a series on giving because we have so many new people that have come and gotten baptized and all kind of things. And what happens is, you know, some people might not understand the tithe and those kind of things. And I understand me just throwing it out there doing offering is not enough, that I have to really explain it from the scripture and those kind of things. And even when I explain it, that the choice is yours. It's up to you. You're at a church that's not going to make you do anything. We're going to give you what the Word of God says. We're going to give you opportunity, and then the rest is up to you. Does that make sense? You got it. But the tithe, the Bible says, it's the tenth. It's the accursed thing. It's holy. It belongs to the Lord. And then people like to fight. Well, it was under the law. It was actually before the law. It was during the law, and it was actually after the law. You got it. And so, but you have to know that you can live better blessed by giving the 10% than you can just keeping it on the 100% curse. Does that make sense? And so because giving is God's plan to prosper your life. Because when people ask, well, why should I give? That's in simplest terms, that's why. Giving is God's plan to prosper your life, right? 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse says, remember this, do what? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly with a bad attitude will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessing may come to someone will always reap generously with blessing, and that is true. Sometimes you hear us say you can never beat God-given no matter how hard you try. I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer. I know that works. You got it. There's times in my life, you got it, where, you know, I feel like I've, you know, after my tithes and offering, you understand, lady and I always give 15%. You got it. That's just what we do, right? But I'm talking about after blessing somebody, it could be, you know, it could be Friday. And I'm like, well, man, we done blessed people with, you know, however, 1,500, you know, and I'll be somewhere the Lord says, well, do this. You got it. Watch this. And if I'm not careful, I'm like, oh, because I'm thinking about, watch this, I'm thinking about my bank account. Watch this. And if I'm not careful, in my natural mind, I'm thinking about it decreasing. You got it? But anytime God asks you for something, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. He's never thinking of subtraction. You got it? He's not even thinking of addition. He's thinking of multiplication in your life. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand that we serve a God of multiplication. And the Bible says that he will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So I don't care how much you give, God always, he always blesses you. And how many know giving is not just about getting money back? Now, we want some money too, praise the Lord. You got it. But giving is not. He says, let's just read it. Let's just read it. All right. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind, purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Nobody at WLCC is going to make you do anything. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving, all right? Watch verse 8. And God is able, I submit to you, not only is he able, but he's willing to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need be. Giving is not just about getting money back. It is you being self-sufficient. What is that? Keep reading. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So God says no matter what it is, if it's bills, he wants you to have more than enough. If you want to go see Mickey and take your whole family and you don't want to put it on a credit card, but you want to pay cash, he says, I will supply not just some of your needs, but all of your needs. He says, watch this. In God, we can't just limit God to a need supplier because he just doesn't want you to have what you need, but he also wants you to have what you want. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, you need your light bill paid. Come on, somebody. You need your water bill paid. Right? You don't necessarily need to go see Mickey, but he wants to give you the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? So you can never be God-given, but so giving matters, and giving is a matter of the heart. Where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. Years ago, I learned that I must give consistently even when it's not ideal. There's sometimes people, I'm a tithe when I get things right. I submit to you, you'll never get things right until you tithe. Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. You'll never be able to afford the tithe until you tithe, because tithing breaks the curse. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we must understand that waiting for everything to be right in our life to give and become a good steward will always cause delay in disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest, all right? And so we have to make sure that we understand that tough times are no excuse not to give. It is actually the reason why we should give, all right? We're going to go to Genesis, the 26th chapter, and kind of push this point. Isaac sold in the time of a famine. He sold in tough times. Everybody say tough times. Yeah, he sold in tough times. And so let's go to Genesis, the 26th chapter, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1, and Genesis 26 and 1. And there was a famine in the land. Everybody say tough times. Tough times. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now let's drop down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. What land? The land where there was a famine in tough times. And received, watch this, in the same year, what class? 100-fold, right? And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great, and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him, all because he sowed, even when it didn't seem like it was ideal. All because he sold. Well, why did he do that? Because he trusted God as his source. See, if you think money is your source, you understand what I'm saying? Then you will hold on. You got it. You know, this is a $100 bill, all right? Well, you know, one of my members blessed me with this for pastor's appreciation. Praise the Lord, right? And so, you know, if I was to say in the room, how many could use a $100 bill? Everybody in the room will raise their hand. You got it, yeah. Or let's not even say use it. How many want the $100 bill, right? Yeah, okay, now all the hands go up. Because some of y'all are like, Pastor, I do have some money, so I'll save it for somebody else, praise the Lord. Right, right. But watch this. If you're not careful, watch this, you will value this over what God can do for you. If you're not careful, I will give it to Sister Spaghetti, and Brother Lasagna will get upset. Brother Lasagna will get upset because, man, I needed that. You got it. Pastor must not be in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? I know he a man of God and everything. You got it. But he wasn't praying this morning. Because Sister Spaghetti, I saw what kind of car she pulled up in. She don't need no $100. See, you are putting trust in the $100 bill, and you are not putting trust in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. What you should have done, Brother Lasagna, was rejoice with those who rejoice. Ivan, I think I'm good, but I think I want just a little bit more in the monitors, if possible, and maybe just a little bit more up top, or maybe take just a little bit of that bass out, and then I'll really be where I want to be. All right, so what happens is, I can multitask. I can do it all, praise the Lord. Yeah, I was up in the ceiling on Friday running cables, praise the Lord. This, I know I'm a good pastor. I told lady, I was up running, you know, things and doing all that kind of stuff, and I just told her, I know it's a pastor appreciation month. I'm appreciating myself. I'm going to buy my I bought me this for me, for pastor's appreciation, and I think I look good. So you don't have to say, Pastor, I like that new shirt, even though some of y'all have, praise the Lord. You got it. But if you're not careful, what was that? Praise the Lord. Oh, whistle, okay, all right. I was like, mayday, mayday, get the cops. Tell Courtney to come on, we got to get up out of here. There she is. She's about to save my life. Let's go home and play something metacritical. All right. Who did I give this to? Sister Spaghetti, right. Who's offended? Let me tell you why Brother Lasagna is offended. Because he put his faith in this $100 bill instead of putting his faith in the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, who always provides. So what Brother Lasagna should have done is say, praise the Lord for God blessing Sister Spaghetti. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. And so I rejoice with those who rejoice. Does that make sense? So my trust, watch this, is not in riches that'll dwindle away. But my trust is in God that not only was he going to give me money, but he's going to give me the joy I need. He's going to give me the peace I need, that he's going to heal my broken heart. Come on, somebody. That he's going to do everything that I need him to do in my life. And so learning to be a giver and not a taker, a little bit more in the monitors. Learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live an amazing life. That's right, sister girl. Go ahead and praise the Lord back there. Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right, number two, I'm just going to hit it real fast. Patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. Patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. There's a blessing in learning to wait. I know we don't like to wait. We like to rush, but there's a blessing in learning to wait. Every opportunity is not for you. Learn to stand still in tough, challenging times. Learn to stand still during the storm. Don't even try to always defend yourself. Learn to stand still and let God defend you. Don't tell everybody what you're going through. And don't talk negative about yourself. Don't appraise the possibility of losing when you haven't lost. Sometimes you need to just wait and simply stand still and see the salvation of God in your life, because patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know we have a few people that need to move. And if everybody else could just stay seated. Father, we thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building. Maybe you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me just break all that down for you. That means you have to simply believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And that word repent is not a hard word. It just means that I was going down the wrong road, heading in the wrong direction, but I came to the knowledge of his love. And I decided to make a U-turn or repent and start heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Maybe you're in the room or online and you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you, but he loved you so very much. And I believe that he's knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent about something. And as Christians, we make mistakes. We repent. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 1 and 9, if we'll just confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church that you go to. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. And so it's so important that, number one, we get saved and give our life to Jesus. And then number two, that we find a good church where we can come and learn and grow and serve, give back and give and do those things that the Bible teaches us to. And so for any of our appeals, I want you to use the connection card if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus. If you want to join this amazing church, I need you to fill out that connection card. That's not just for first-time friends. That's for any decision that you make. But we'll talk about that more later. In the room or online, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Or I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or, Pastor, I'm a Christian and I just need to repent. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Actually, I'm going to just ask everybody in the room and online to pray this prayer with me. Well, Pastor, I don't need to pray the prayer because I don't need to get saved. Well, let's go help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. But truth be told, this is a prayer we could all pray together. So, Father, I thank you for what you're about to do in the hearts of the people in Jesus' name. Everybody, repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it right now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the room?